You're listening to ABC Radio National's MP3 and podcast of Life Matters. Find out more, go to abc.net.au/rn.
And you're on Life Matters on Radio National. Well, there are times when you think the world has gone completely barking mad and abandoned all reason. If so, then you will probably have a great deal in common with our next guest. He's Francis Wheen, and he's written a book called How Mumbo Jumbo Conquered the World. It's a wonderful title, and it's an impassioned polemic on the retreat of reason in the late 20th century, an age of irrational panic, New Age mysticism, snake oils and quackery, and an age in which self-help gurus and financial charlatans promised to deliver happiness, health and wealth to an unquestioning public. Francis, welcome to Life Matters.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Now, let's talk about the rise of self-help gurus, because we do get inundated with many books here at Life Matters which promise a fast track to success and, of course, happiness, which goes hand in hand. Who do these books really help, in your opinion?
Well, very few people, I suspect. But they're hugely popular and successful because of the claims they make to help. I mean, I suppose some people are comforted by them or encouraged by them. But I think it's a bit like snake oil selling in the old days. If you flog a bottle of medicine and say, this will make you happy and healthy for the rest of your life, then you won't flog any more to that same person. The trick is to flog them one self-help course or book saying, this will conquer your low self-esteem or whatever it is. But then you arouse their anxieties about something else and say, yeah, do you think you're really... I think you need help with this next, so you can keep selling this stuff.
You can then get addicted to the self-help
genre. Once you've bought one book by Deepak Chopra or whoever it might be, you then buy the video and go to his seminars and then buy the next one and so forth, because you always feel that there's... I mean, if they were so brilliant, these books, it's surprising that you need quite so many of them, if they really do, as they all pretend to contain the secrets to life, the universe and happiness and all the rest of it. I mean, most of their statements are the obvious, sort of dressed up a bit, say, wealth doesn't translate as happiness. That's from Meditations for Men Who Do Too Much. I don't think it was an entirely original observation, though, somehow.
I love the title of the book, so that some of them you talk about.
Well, Stephen R. Covey, who's a management guru who comes up with all these lists and things. All his books are called things like The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and that's the other gimmick. If you can have bullet points, numbered points.
They're all numbered, aren't they?
He includes the 7 deadly sins in this book, which I don't think was one of his original ideas either.
So, a bit of plagiarism goes on, but... I suppose when you talk about success, they do lead to success for their authors, aren't they? It's a billion-dollar industry.
Oh, huge success. I have yet to come across any fantastically successful business person or whatever who says, I owe it all to my management guru. I read Awaken the Giant Within or The Management Secrets of Attila the Hun, and it transformed my life, and now I'm running General Motors. I think, by and large, they're rather, the people they're targeting are people who are worried that they're not doing as well as they might do, but there's no evidence that they then do massively better as a result of this. I mean, there may be examples out there that I've missed, but I'm not sure. I haven't come across any.
You're a listener and you have been
Bill
thrilled...
Bill Clinton, actually, it has to be said.
Well, that's true.
Bill Clinton was a great sucker for these things.
And you argue in your book that it actually helped Bill Clinton's political career to be into the New Age stuff.
Well, I think because so many of his electors were. That's why he was such a popular and successful president, I suspect, in spite of all his scandals, that he was very much in tune with the electorate, who, by and large, do seem to go for this sort of guff. So when he sat down at Camp David with a sacred psychologist, a Hollywood mystic and 2 management gurus, he was sort of validating what many other people in the United States also do.
I must say, if people are listening and they have felt that their life's changed from a New Age book, perhaps they've made millions of dollars, do feel free to drop us a line at Life Matters or via our website's probably the best way, abc.net.au/rn, and follow the links to Life Matters. We're talking to Francis Wheen, whose book is called How Mumbo Jumbo Conquered the World. Now, you've mentioned some wonderful titles of books. Is there really one called God Wants You to Be Rich?
Oh, very... no, actually, that's a spoof. That's a parody.
It is.
You'll find it's a parody of Deepak Chopra, in fact, who I'm horrified to discover is quite big in Australia.
Yes, he is. He's quite well known.
Very distressed he is. But there we are. No, God Wants You to Be Rich is the 7.5 secrets to life, success and happiness from a monk called Brother Tai. And it's a former Wall Street person who becomes an alcoholic and then dries out and goes to live in a monastery in California. And from this monastery dispenses advice which makes you rich, because Deepak Chopra is a strange sort of straddler of the self-help and the management sections in a way, because his books are all about how to be rich and successful, but also they have that sort of veneer of spirituality and the mysticism of the East and this, that and the other. It's a sort of strange cross between self-help and a bit of instant karma on the one hand, and then the thing saying go for it on the other, or rather go-getting thing. And of course the other thing is flatter your audience. If you read Deepak Chopra, what he tells the audience is you are perfect, you are wonderful, everything you do is a representation of the divine, all your success is entirely merited because you're so wonderful. If you flatter people, by and large they quite enjoy it and are willing to pay for the privilege if needed.
Now, when did Deepak Chopra get so big? It was when he went on with Oprah Winfrey. Tell us about that.
Yes, he appeared until then. He was a rather obscure and slightly dodgy doctor. He'd been a doctor registered in California, more or less got struck off, actually, because he was promoting transcendental meditation herbal remedies in the Journal of the American Medical Association without mentioning that he was, in fact, the sole shareholder in the company that was selling these things. So he got into a spot of bother about that, but he doesn't need it anymore. He stopped being MD because he's got this exciting new Oprah-inspired career. He went on her show and I think it was called Timeless Body, Ageless Mind, the book he was on to discuss. And it's he's very soothing and reassuring, old Deepak. You know, he says, you are timeless, you are ageless, you need never die. He actually literally appears to believe. He says that ageing is a learned process.
So we only age because we see other people doing it.
We do it, and so we imitate them, just as we see other people going around dressed. If we didn't, you know, if we started from scratch, we wouldn't wear clothes.
Similarly, but it's working for Demi Moore, isn't it? Well, she follows Deepak. She's looking very young.
She's looking frightfully young. Well, she'd better do, because she's one of his followers, and I think she is one of the people who said that thanks to his lessons, she expects to live to 150 or maybe more. I mean, we see other people grow old and die, and we copy them, but we don't have to, you know. That's what Deepak says. So no wonder people love it. I mean, if you're offer someone eternal life, it's always a good starting point for any guru.
So you'll swallow your words if Demi goes on to live to 150, won't you, Francis?
Well, actually, one of the people, it seems incredibly tasteless to mention it, was Princess Diana. He also had lunch with her shortly before she died. So obviously it doesn't always work, this thing that you live to the age of 150.
Mm. We'll talk about Princess Diana a little bit later in the interview, Francis. Now, you mentioned I mentioned Demi Moore, but apparently Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Taylor were also into Deepak. Do you think this is also where it's not just flattering people, that we like to follow the celebrity, and this is another reason for their huge success of the New Age theorists?
Oh, yes, all cults have to have their celebrity endorsements these days. And actually a lot of those people, you mentioned people like Hillary Clinton and so forth, tend to be associated with more than one, because I think cults and gurus, their delusions in general are contagious, if you like, an incremental, cumulative. So if you succumb to one, once you get into, say, feng shui, you're much more susceptible to others. So when the Kabbalah cult comes along, this new thing that Madonna follows, her latest gimmick, she's been a member, not a member, but, you know, well, a celebrity endorser.
Kabbalah
of
is hardly a gimmick, isn't it? It's Kabbalah, ancient mysticism that's been going on.
Not
for
her one,
it's
not.
Years.
No, this is the new Kabbalah, which is completely different, founded by one bloke who said, if you buy this very expensive bottled water and wear a red string around your wrist and twirl a chicken around your head every so often, then you'll ward off evil forces. But it's mainly about flogging this mineral water. It's nothing to do with the ancient Kabbalah at all.
Right.
You go for whatever the latest one is. A few years ago, feng shui was all the rage. We don't seem to hear so much about it anymore. I think it's rather gone off the boil. Ayurvedic medicine, magic healing crystals. There are quite popular still in
some quarters. Crystals have gone a bit out of fashion as well.
Hillary loves all these things. And Cherie Blair, the wife of our Prime Minister in Britain, she's a sucker for every single one of these. She used to wear a little brooch which Hillary had put her onto, which had a crystal inside, and it was called a